Good afternoon. I am Michelle Marquis here in the KSRO newsroom, bringing you the latest on the coronavirus and how it impacts us here in Sonoma County. And on the KSRO live line with me right now is Sonoma County Supervisor David Rabbit. So let's go ahead and give our listeners a little bit of an overview about where we are as the county right now in our response to COVID-19.
Yeah, you know, our county is doing exceptionally well in terms of adhering to the sheltering in place guidelines from the health official. And, you know, we had, I think, 22 new cases. Most of those new cases were discovered through proactive testing. So we know that's going to happen, and that's okay. It's better that we know early and then do the contact investigations to kind of bring that spread number, that R-naught number that we talked about early on, where the average infected person can infect up to three others. You know, right now in our county, that's down around one or a little less than one. So that's a good thing. So testing is really important, and good news coming out that the state is going to open 80 new test sites, too, in Sonoma County. That will give us additional capacity. Today at Chenate, there's drive-through testing, so we're really ramping that up. We're hoping to get to 200 tests today. The state testing will allow up to 264 more tests per day, so that's 464. You know, the number that we're shooting for is somewhere between 600 and 800 a day, as to be determined what data set we need going forward. That's kind of all work in progress, but that's good news because that really that is really vitally important to be able to loosen the restrictions that we have. And as you heard on the national news there, it is the debate of our times, trying to figure out how you could reopen, how long you can stay shut down and survive at all. And knowing that any human contact is going to increase the likelihood of spread, that's out there. So, you know, look for parks to start loosening this week. I think our next order, and there will be one, will be a little more slightly in line with what the state's doing. So there'll be a few more people, hopefully, getting back to work, but it's still trying to stay in that responsible place to not go too quickly, to stay beneath the thresholds that we set for ourselves for our hospitals to be able to treat anyone who's sick. You know, it is a really tough decision because we know that whatever human-to-human contact that we increase will increase the likelihood of a spread. We just need to make sure that it stays below those threshold levels.
Can you remind us a bit of what the county will be doing in terms of reopening parks and how that is going to look?
I think what you'll see is not all parks, and then the debate is really about whether or not the parking lots themselves. So then, of course, we understand the argument against that, or the other side of that is that it's kind of a social equity thing. If you're too far away from a park, you know, you're not given that opportunity.
Right.
So it is difficult times, and there are no great answers, but we're trying to move in a direction that allows people a little more flexibility because we have done very well. We just don't want to blow it. We don't want to, you know, and I think 2 weeks after the parks open, it'll be interesting to see if there's a trend that's indicative upon what that activity entailed. And I think that's what public health overall is struggling with, is trying to understand if you put the mitigations in place with the shelter in place and the activities that are out there, what is the likelihood of that increase going forward? There is no data. This is all new and novel. And, you know, we have been talking a lot at the county level about moving from this definition of essential and non-essential, which is a state mandate through the federal government, to something more on a risk-based assessment. So you could imagine things that are less risky versus more risky. You know, they always bring up mobile dog groomers, someone who may not even see the customer, let the dog out of the backyard, wash, groom, put it back, Venmo the money. Is that right now? That's not allowed. But is that something that can be allowed going forward because it seems to be very low risk? Landscape contractors, I mean, you go down the list of jobs that are like that, or delivery of other products outside of those essential businesses. But understanding that every time you adjust things, you're having more human contact in there and more likelihood of additional spread. But as also was said on the national news there, you know, what is the realistic time frame that we can continue to leave people without a paycheck and survive? So there, it's the economic side versus the health side. Health is driving for sure. But I think, as was said, you can't expect everyone to be inside for a year. You have to, at some point, kind of make sure that you're ready. And we're following the governor's guidelines, the six guidelines that the governor set out that we need to meet in order to proceed to that next step.
Now, we are increasing testing starting, I believe, this weekend here. What kinds of information do you want people to keep in mind when they start to see results of tests? Because our numbers will likely go up.
Numbers will go up because you'll see, and we were one of the first counties to really start testing asymptomatic people, so people with no symptoms whatsoever. And part of the reason they didn't test that initially was the lack of test kits and swabs and everything else. But it's important to know what the asymptomatic rate is within the community, because obviously they're spreading the disease to those that might be more vulnerable. So I think it's all that kind of data that the health officials want to compile. There was that study that Stanford University did in Santa Clara County. It was debated what the percentage of the overall population was infected or not. So it's really kind of getting down to that. Understanding that, I think, will give health officials a lot more information to make the decisions going forward about the likelihood of, you know, crossing that threshold for healthcare capacity, and also the chance of a secondary spike. And that's really, you know, it's really what we want. And obviously, if there's someone that is infected, you want to make sure then you can take that person, quarantine them or isolate them, and go through the contact investigation to everyone they've been in contact with to make sure that they're not positive and out there spreading. So it's a positive step, and we, you know, we're happy that we can start really ramping up the number of tests significantly, because we've been waiting to do that, and really it's been dependent upon cotton swabs and sterile swabs and whatnot coming into the county. But we went ahead and got our own, and we're able to start that today. And tomorrow will be the same thing, another 200.
Now, the groups that you're testing first, are these include healthcare workers?
It is. And there's a priority list of that the CDC has put out. So this is priority one and two. And then it goes down to four. At the bottom is kind of the total population, more or less. But you can imagine, you know, there are those people that are forced to be in contact with more people. You want to make sure that they're safe, they're on the front lines. So really doing more than just the sampling, which we have done in the past, but to really kind of make sure that we could test all. And, you know, it's important to know what you're going to find out as you go forward with the data, and then how you use that, and what does it mean? The test is a point in time. We know that, but I think the more information that we can get into the hands of the public health officials, they can put it into the modeling and figure out the best path forward.
Now, if we are testing healthcare workers first, and some of these people show up as asymptomatic but COVID positive, does that put an impact on our ability to provide healthcare services because we have to remove those people out of the system?
Yeah. I mean, it could. It could. Luckily, our system's not stressed as we are sitting here today, so we have some additional capacity. But obviously, if you're positive, you're not going to be going to work for a period of time. Mm-hmm. So it's better to know than to not, obviously. And again, because we're where we are on the curve and we're below the threshold of the surge needed for the hospitals, although we have that set up and the capacity is there, you know, it's a good time to move forward in this in these additional tests to get that additional information.
Now, how are we looking right now about our shelter in place order? It's now set to expire, what, May 3rd? Is that likely to be extended?
I would say yes. Look for another order. It will be different than the one we have now, and I can tell you that there is a frantic work being done on it as we speak. Discussions by the hour every day about how it should look. some of the stuff we just talked about, the data points, are really important to be able to influence what we can and can't do and what would be deemed safe or not safe. And again, that's why, from my perspective at least, it's, can we start to look at things with that risk assessment type of lens, as opposed to either you're an essential business or you're not. Mm-hmm. And the same thing for activities. So I think we're, and we asked the state this last night on a 5 o'clock phone call with Senator McGuire, talking through the governor's office, because what's true is the governor's order can be interpreted in different ways. And it has been interpreted in different ways. If you look at, what counties have golf courses open, for instance, and what counties don't, depends how you interpret the governor's order. But then again, I would ask, what's the risk associated with that? And can you mitigate, there's best practices that most industry sectors right now are really putting together that mm-hmm. is really good stuff. Not to pick on golf, but, no flags in the hole, and the hole's turned upside down so you don't even have to reach for the ball. No raking the sand pits, no touch kind of stuff, even contactless purchasing of things. So mm-hmm. I think as we move forward, and if we get more and more businesses to be able to really look through that lens, minimizing the risk, minimizing the contact, we can open more. But, at the same time, we recognize the hardship that's out there and the people that are losing revenue and paychecks. And Sonoma County is dependent upon face-to-face. We're a tourist economy in a lot of ways, and it takes people coming here and visiting and spending dollars, restaurants, wine tasting, all the other things that go with that. And that's not going to happen for the near future anyway.
Yeah. Well, it is a balance, and I don't envy the people who are making those decisions. It's got to be tough for you. But we appreciate you talking with us today, and this interview we will post on our website. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Michelle. Take care.
You too. That is Supervisor David Rabbit here on KSRO.